The following audio was recorded at the Pacific School Leadership Institute, which was held at Waits Lake Bible Camp near Valley, Washington, on October 19 and 20, 2023.
Okay, well, good morning. Welcome here. So, does your school need a handbook? That's a question that I think needs answered. And the simple answer is yes. I think a school does need a handbook. And you might wonder why. How many of you in the school you're operating in have a handbook currently? Kinda? You do? Okay. So from a business standpoint, as I don't even have a handbook for my employees. I don't have many employees, but I don't have a handbook. But I've been told I should. And I think it depends a little bit on the parameters of how many employees you have and maybe how much changeover. I basically have one full-time employee. Do I need a handbook for him? Well, our communication is such that I don't think it's that important. But when you're running a school, as most of our schools, there's a changeover. Board members change. From time to time, board members change. Teachers change. There's just a lot of people that are involved. And a handbook is so important when you look at the bigger picture of the changeover. Because there needs to be continuity. That's the big thing, is the continuity. Be able to communicate from one person to another. And so, so those are some of the... just kind of an outline. Now, I will say at the beginning here that this says this is a workshop. And so in my workshop, in my farm shop, I don't do all the work. In fact, as the owner, I do less work than my other people do. My son and my full-time hired man, they do most of the work. Because the problem is if I step in the workshop and the farm shop and start working, they tend to step back and let me do the work. So I would like a little bit of open discussion here is my point this morning. So I'm going to give, I was asked permission from most of the rest of the board in our school there, if I could give a handout. And I'm going to actually give you our handbook, basically, let's see here. John, you want to hand those out? Now, I'm going to say a few things about this right at the beginning. One of the things is I did not help write this up. This happened before I was involved in the school. This happened quite a number of years ago. And this was last reviewed in 2014. So this is not very up to date. And I actually just read over at the beginning, I'm school chairman right now, and at the beginning of our school year at registration, I actually read this to all the patrons. We went down through and just took the time to read it all so everyone knows, because we usually hand these out at the beginning of the year at registration meeting, and the question is does it ever get read? So I actually read this with the help of somebody else to all the patrons, so everyone's on the same page. And part of the reason I did that was, I said, this is 2014, we're coming up on 10 years, we need to review this. Every 10 years, maybe every 5 years, but for sure every 10 years, I feel it should be updated. And so we are planning to review that, and because it's more than just patrons involved, I feel it's something that the whole church should be involved in. Because we are in a church school, it's going to be a church discussion that thing will be reviewed. All right, so what does a handbook consist of? You know, it lays out the purpose of your school. That's one of the first things that should be included, is the purpose of your school. And why? Well, why do you want to go through life without purpose? It's pretty important to have that, the first and foremost thing, is to have purpose in life. So, you need to have, and we, as we have it stated in ours here, the name and objective. And so it lines out some of the things, why we do what we do. and what our goal is, what our goal for our students is, what our goal for our teachers are. So there needs to be that purpose needs to be lined out. It explains some of the rules, the regulations, the policies, procedures, and it provides a consistent transition from one board member to another. It's been, I was on the board for 3 years, then I was off for probably 3 years. Now I'm back on for 2 years, the second year. And things happen in that time, and it's just so interesting to me how things can transition in 3 years of being off the board, what all can change, and yet we go back to the same thing. And while this is not the Bible, this is just a framework of the way we run our school. And so it provides organization. It gives a clear outline for teachers and for their responsibilities. What the board's obligations are and what the parents' involvements are. It also lines out the steps with dealing with issues. And the last section, you'll see that the print is different on this last thing. This was actually something that the duties of the principal, teacher, and I guess chairman, school board, secretary, that was just added last year. And I'll give a little bit of the background on that. So Joel Schrock was a teacher. He's from our congregation. He taught school for many years, and he is now our secretary. And we realized that he served as principal through his years of teaching. We hired a new teacher, fairly young teacher from a different community, and we were asking him to also be the principal. Well, he steps in from a different background, from the Midwest, and also all of a sudden he is forced with the responsibility of running our school, essentially. You know, he's the high school teacher, he's the principal, and he's like, what am I supposed to do? So we asked Joel to go through and write down kind of the framework of it. And so this here is just, it's very detailed. Now, should that be included in the handbook? I don't know that it necessarily needs to be, but I think it's something that should be passed on. And we're not sure how we're going to handle it yet, whether we're actually going to include it in our handbook, but I went ahead and stapled it in here. And it's little details that, you know, the teachers don't think about. A new teacher coming in, they didn't do it that way at the school. You know, we all go back to how it was done when I was in school. That's a pretty easy way to go to. Well, different schools do it different. Different cultures do it different. And so just having, you know, who lines up the ball game at the last day of school? You know, we always have, our tradition is we have a ball game after the program in the morning, have lunch together, a barbecue or something, and then we play softball the rest of the day. Well, who is responsible for that? Is it the school board? Is it the chairman? Is it the principal? Is it the teacher? Who's responsible for that? And so some of those things, in fact, we got detailed enough, I think. It says that they're responsible until the evening meal, and the school board is responsible to bring pizza for supper that evening, and after that, the youth leaders take over. Because we had a discrepancy one time. Well, who's responsible that evening? Is it the school or no? And the school board's like, we're done at supper time. We'll bring the pizza in, and after that, the youth leaders take over. So just an example of how it should be done. What's that? Well, yeah, I was involved in that situation. And it was very good to just have it spelled out how it should be. So you might say, well, how important is it? What can happen is, and especially in a new school beginning, and I'm just going to give a hypothetical situation of a new church starts, a new outreach. There's maybe five families that move to a new area and begin a church there. And all of a sudden they realize, well, hey, we got young ones coming on. We need to have a school. And so they scrounge around and they find, hey, here's a lady she's taught school for 20 years. Perfect. That's just what we need. We're starting a new school. She has all the history. She knows how to do it. Let's bring her in. You bring this lady in. She starts in the year, and the school board's like, man, I got enough trying to figure out my new business in this new area and all the stuff, and I'll just let her run the school. And time moves on. You come up against Christmas, and she's preparing the Christmas program, and she comes from a totally different background, even though she's a very experienced teacher. She comes from a totally different background, and she does things different. And all of a sudden, some of these parents are like, wait a minute, we don't normally do that at our Christmas program. At least we didn't do it that way. But boy, we'll just let it be, I guess. You know, she knows what she's doing. And time moves on, and all of a sudden, things and the Christmas program happens, and it's more of a skit and a play than it is anything biblical. And, you know, it's like, wow, we should have really talked about this before. You know, that's just worst case scenario. Now, the flip side of that is you have a group of believers that start a group, start a church, start an outreach in another area. They realize the importance of the school. They realize that's very foundational in their church. And so they either adapt what they were used to, or they sit together and have a conversation and draw up just the basic outline. But I don't think that this, I guess my feeling on this would be that the bylaws should not be, or your handbook, whatever you want to call it, should not be what's written in stone. You know, it should not be such a thing that you can't adjust. In other words, it's not something that you write up and that's the way it's going to be done, and don't mess with it for the next 10 years, especially in a new or a young school. I think it's important to be able to, as the board members, sit around and discuss things about the school, to be able to make some changes, have the freedom to do that. Not easily. It needs to be discussed. Maybe needs to be brought into the bigger, you know, to the patrons at large, and involve them in the discussion. But it is important to kind of have a layout. And then what's expected of the teachers, so that, you know, if you go down over this list of what we expect of our teachers, it's quite a list. If you read in both, you didn't get a handout here, Jeff. I'll get you one. If you think, you know, if you're stepping in, you travel 1,000 miles to a new area, a new community, put yourself in those shoes of the teacher. And so what's required of the teacher? Well, in the first section there, it has what their responsibilities are, kind of more outlines the, it's not real detailed in there, but it's what's expected. And the second one, it actually lists very, very much detail in that. And, you know, things that a teacher might not even think about. You know, that one of the things that's nice is if there's certain things that the students need to bring when they come to the first day of school, how are the students supposed to know that they're supposed to bring, maybe they bring their pencil, their pen, the list of things, the list of things that a teacher would like to see them bring? Well, you can wait and tell them at the first day of school, but we have asked our teachers, and when we do an interview, that's one of the things we let them know, is that by the 1st of August, we like them to have that list given to the parents so that the mom can do her school shopping, basically, is what it amounts to. And so just little things like that are very important in making the school run smoothly, because if one child shows up with a whole backpack full of stuff and a whole lot of unnecessary stuff, and the next student shows up with an empty backpack hoping to start the year out, doesn't have a pen or a pencil or an eraser, you know, it's not going to go well the first day. But if everyone shows up with their backpack with the same things in it and maybe a few extras, it's going to run way smoother for the teachers. And so anyway, this, I'm going to allow you to have this. Don't go run your school like we run our school. That's not what this is all about. I just wanted you to have this as a copy. And, you know, there's no secrets about it. It's some things that we've put together. So maybe I'm going to read a little bit. I have an article here that I pulled off the internet, unfortunately. But it's actually was written very recent here, January 11 of 2023. And it was actually related directly to this. And I just thought there was some things in here that were very fitting. But it's a private school handbook is essential for setting guidelines for the school community. A private school handbook is essential for guidelines in the school community. The reason why I'm devoting this entire article to the private school review is to underscore the importance of a handbook. Both you and your child need to understand that a school handbook is linked to the contract that you signed with the school. Now this, so basically what he's saying in here is that, maybe I'll keep reading. Private schools are not like public schools in this very important regard. Students have rights in public schools, but they do not have rights in a private school. And I found that pretty interesting. In the public school system, they have rights. But when you leave the public school system and you come into a private school system, you leave your rights at the door. You are signing up saying, I am willing to abide by the parameters of this school. Let's envision this building here as our school. When you come into the door, you've now said, I didn't want the public school system or whatever. I feel that there's something better out there. And so you're giving up your rights when you walk through that door. And I think that is not only important for the parents to understand, while primarily they're the ones that have made that decision, I think the students need to understand that the private school is a privilege. It really is a privilege. It's if you go back in history, it wasn't always that way, and it wasn't always as easy as what it is today. But the private school is really a privilege, and I think that's something. If there's any burden on my heart, it's that our students understand that it is really a privilege, because they have other options. We can put them on the yellow bus at the end of the road and send them off to town. That is an option. So the private school, they are governed by what is known as a contract law. And this is probably goes a little deeper than what this is running a private school with a broader spectrum than what we would run. But the contract you signed, which spells out all the obligations to the parties of the contract, somewhere buried in the fine print will be a statement to the effect that one of your child's obligations is to abide by the rules and regulations of school and its community as set forth in the school handbook and elsewhere. Most handbooks are comprehensive and very detailed documents which seek to cover every conceivable aspect of school life. They are generally rather lengthy documents. Two, and as you will see in the review of examples, anyway, he had some examples, take time to review the school handbook, discuss and confirm that your child understands the seriousness of the document. While the school will explain the content of its handbooks at the beginning of the school and assume nothing, make sure that he or she understands that failure to abide by the terms of the contract and rules and regulations set forth in the school handbook can and will have serious consequences. So, what does that mean? Well, that means that, and I personally have never had to do it, but there's students that get hauled home to their parents. And why? Because they didn't abide by the contract. They didn't actually follow the handbook. The handbook is more than just for the teachers. It's actually for the parents, it's for the school board, it's for the students. It's for everyone that's involved in the school. There's a section in there. There should be a section in there for everybody involved. So, so what is the purpose? Well, the purpose of the handbook, they explain the rules and regulations, the policies, procedures. They also detail the consequences for not adhering to the policies and procedures. A handbook is written to ensure smooth, safe running of the school and community. The school is responsible for your child's safety while he is at school or with involved school-related activities as sports and other school activities held off campus. And then this one actually, he went on to talk about, this is from a boarding school standpoint, of how that they would actually, in a boarding school scenario, how they would act on the weekend. I mean, in other words, you know, our students come home for the night and are spend the weekend with their parents. But in a boarding school scenario, they would actually give all the guidelines in that handbook of how they're supposed to act, how the teachers are supposed to act on the weekend, what all they're allowed to do, what all the students are allowed to do on the weekends and all that. So there's just a lot of parameters that play in, but because in a boarding school scenario, the parents are trusting the school to manage that. They're outside of the parents' jurisdiction at that point. You know, in that situation, simple things as medications and that type of thing for a student would be outlined in there, and how they, you know, how the school nurse would handle some of that. All right. Any questions that you have? And I don't know, I am not promising that I can answer it, but if you have any questions, any thoughts, how do you run your school? Do you, what all should be included in the handbook? Anything you'd like to talk about? David? So how detailed should you have that all written down? All right, anything else you'd like to discuss? John, you've been around the school for a long time. Any input? And I would agree with that. I think there needs to be a framework there, but we are not, from a school board standpoint, we're not trying to micromanage the classroom. That's not our goal. And yet I think there is things that we expect. And that's why we haven't decided yet whether this last section there in a different print is going to be a part of the handbook or not. That's up for discussion. But I do think, I would go back to, I think there you need to have the handbook such that it can be changed. One of the things that we're dealing with right now, or we're actually in a transition, in a trial, I should say, and that is we had this scenario where, so you're serving the school board for 3 years, and often the third year you get voted on as chairman. Now, that doesn't always happen that way, but it often does. And the problem is that, so I'm chairman this year, and I will be hiring, that's part of my job, is to hire the teachers for next year. So I do the interview, and I thought about including that, but I didn't. Questionnaire, and do the interview for the teacher for next year. My job ends May 15, or whenever the last day of school is. That's my last day, as far as chairman. I hired teachers for next year. The new teacher shows up in the middle of August to get her classroom ready, and here walks in a new chairman, one that, yes, maybe was in the interview and maybe wasn't. I mean, this past year, exactly that thing happened. I was gone on a trip over the time when the previous chairman, David, was interviewing the new hiree. And all of a sudden, so I get introduced. Well, that's really an awkward situation for the poor lady that came in as a new teacher. You know, who is her boss now? You know, really. And so we are actually changing that to where the school board chairman going off will stay on as a silent member for until Christmas. So basically he's there, he can be involved. He comes to the school board meetings just for the transition, over the transition time. And I can go to him with any questions that I have. That's a tremendous blessing. It's a trial thing this first year. So that's something we want to change in our handbook is for the future. Anyway, any other questions?
That's good, because as a teacher, if you're there for 5 years or 8 years, you've outlived numerous school boards, and it can be frustrating on the teacher's part relating to a new one every year, or every 2 years, or even every 3 years. And so I vouch for longer school board terms.
All right. Well, I think that's a good point. So this might reveal how old I am, but I've never taught school. I've been on the school board several times, like I said. All of my school board members that are on the board with me are all younger than I am, and two of them don't even have children in school. But one good thing is that they all have taught school. So I feel very blessed right now. Joel taught school for many years, and he is the secretary. And Darren Berkey and Eric Troyer are both serving on this. But they all taught. And so I don't even have to go to the handbook. I can just ask them. Makes my job way easier. But anyway, that's... Yeah, I can easily see the frustration from a teacher's standpoint in that.
And I think that that accents the need to have something written down so that it doesn't become a test of whose memory is the best or who thinks the memory is the best. Because as was said this morning, that is, our memories are fickle, and that's just problematic.
It is.
We just had this just 2 days ago. We were talking about something and trying to figure something out. And, well, did we discuss this, 4 years ago, 5 years ago? Well, yeah, we think we did, but nobody had anything written. Nobody knew for sure. And everybody's memory was a little different as to how we had talked about it. And I was not one that said we had, because I couldn't remember. I thought we probably had, but I couldn't remember. I don't know if there's notes anywhere or not, and notes are not a handbook, but a handbook articulates that notes need to be taken.
Yeah.
And they need to be filed somewhere where somebody can find them.
Right.
And it's not just a book that gets lost in somebody's on somebody's bookshelf. And with today's clouds and memory storage, it shouldn't be a problem to make that happen. It seems to me like. And so I would just emphasize that having it written down, and as you're talking here, I'm thinking about our school, there's a number of things that need to be done. Because it's not, you know, and you know, the person that kept notes for 4 or 5 years kept notes on his phone. Are they still on his phone? Or that's the only place that he ever put them anywhere? Or somebody else can go back and see what was talked about, and you need to figure out what you should do in this situation. I don't know, but it's something that needs to be. And all that stuff, you say, well, the person who took it on his phone should know to print it out and put it in a notebook. Well, there's a lot of things that people should know. It never happens in today's world. We're so busy. Some of that, and I'm not sure what the answer is to some of that stuff because of our rotating school boards and rotating teachers, it's really hard to have a process in place that's dependent upon the person going out telling the person coming in. And personally, I don't like that system in our school, that it rotates. So I understand the principle that everybody needs to have a chance to help, and you can't put everybody, just two or three people in charge and consolidate power and authority in two or three people. But we have to figure out how to have that information present and available and usable if it's going to be flowing through David Hertzler, whoever it was, and then through Gene, and then through, you know, Eric, and then through whoever comes on down the line. But many times the flow of information gets dammed up somewhere, mm-hmm. and then you have trouble. And I think a handbook begins to address some of that.
You had something else you were going to say. I thought so.
So, a detailed teacher handbook, should that be included in the same one that the parents receive?
That's a good question. And so, the reason I went and took this second paper, set of papers, and read it all was because I felt it was very important. There's parents who, and nothing against them, who've never been on the school board. They drop their children off at school and they show up, hopefully, at parent-teacher meetings. And they interact a little bit on a personal level with the teacher. But that's about all the involvement they have in the school. And I wanted them to understand what the responsibility of the teacher is. I wanted them to know what their responsibility is. They're supposed to show up at a parent-teacher meeting. But so that they know that what the teacher's job is. And I think it's clear. And that way it's clear. Now, I don't know. What's your thought?
I wasn't sure if there was ever a time that the parents pulled this to the teacher's face and said, look at this. You're not doing the job. But I didn't think of what you just said, so I like that.
I think the teacher could hold the paper up to the parent's face sometimes, too. maybe not appropriate, but you get the point. It was interesting in doing a little bit of research. A lot of private schools have their whole handbook as an online document. Yeah, now there's some of them require a login, like if, you know, for the school, but a lot of them, it's public record. In fact, I was amazed how many of them I had, you could get access to just on the internet as a private school, and it's public. And that's why I don't mind handing this out. It's nothing private about it. I mean, it's a private school. It's just, this is the guidelines we go by. Anything else you'd like to? Well, back, John, with your thought there, real quick. Maybe combining both your thoughts, but you said you would like to see school board members serve longer. I agree with that to a certain point. I think if there's anyone that should serve on a more longer basis is the secretary. There's something about the continuity of keeping those records, because if you hand that off too often, that's where it, but there's a lot of good men in our groups who can be an excellent school board member, maybe not a chairman, but they can be an excellent school board member and not a secretary, because that's not me at all. And so find your qualified man for a set. This is just my personal opinion now, but find a good man for your secretary and keep him on as long as possible. But school board members, there's a lot of good men that could be on the school board that aren't. But they need a handbook to go by, so they have reference point. Anyway, that's just something personal. Any other thoughts? All right, well, I think that's all I have. Lord's blessings to you. Oh, David, you got one more? We have not. Well, it's not included in here. I don't think so.
But there is a guideline?
I don't think so.
Well, it seems to me like if that's important, unless there's a law that says it has to be in there, if that's important to the church community or a school community, then put it in. But don't bang on it being one of those rules or one of those understandings that so many times we have in our Mennonite communities. Everybody just kind of knows what it is until a stranger comes in and they have no idea what it is. You know, they didn't know that it was there. And all the parents knew because it's been happening for 15 or 20 years. You know, don't let school be operated on that level, because that's problematic all the way through. It's okay if you get your teachers out of your own church, but many times we don't.
And that's one of the things that we ran into. That's why we started getting a little more detail, is it's just a nice framework to them to go by. But yeah, as far as sick days and all that, I mean, well, sick days are a little hard to manage, especially during COVID, but otherwise, we do have a thing with our teachers on, if they take off and they find a replacement teacher, that they're responsible themselves to reimburse the teacher. In other words, we don't want to have a separate payroll set up for the hired, or for the substitute teachers. So we actually ask our teachers that are normally teaching to, if they hire a substitute for a day because they need to leave, they actually pay that. That's just, we don't have that written down, but it's just something we ask of our teachers.
And I think that's good, because that tends to put the pressure on the teacher to think twice before he takes off. But I don't think it's good that you don't have it written down, because you're going to forget to tell the teacher that somehow. They're going to do it, and they're going to, I have to pay. I didn't know that. You never told me.
We actually, it's not a requirement. We suggest. We suggest.
Yeah, well.
All right, anything else? Any of you have any questions or anything? Yes. I think Nathan was going to discuss that in that one. But yeah, but that is very important. We do have that. And when you sign up at the beginning of the year, we have school registration, and that's one of the forms that they fill out, all the medical stuff. And that is important, and to have that in the file, definitely. All right, well, I think that's all I have. Lord's blessings to you.